This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Julius Randle's been amazing. Time to take a seat. We'll explain. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-ESPN, 800-919-3776. We have a short show tonight. We have an hour for you to get through on the phones. On Twitter as well, at Chris Carlin, and over on Instagram, by all means, check it out at That Guy Carlin. The video stream up and running on ESPN New York's Facebook page, in addition to 98.7 ESPN New York's Twitter feed. Look, I'm not crazy, okay? Julius Randle, as I've talked about on numerous occasions, in my mind, is the MVP of the first half of the NBA season. And the reason being, he is single-handedly, in many, many instances, been the biggest factor to the Knicks having the success that they are having when they don't have other options offensively. They have started to develop them. RJ Barrett has certainly come along in that regard. They added Derrick Rose for some offense, and that has helped, but there's no getting around it. The best overall player for the Knicks has been Julius Randle. Now, I start to worry. What is the history of Tom Thibodeau? It is to overplay guys. It is to play guys too many minutes. It is to leave them on the floor in instances when they really shouldn't, and they should be on the bench. Case in point, earlier this week, the Knicks roll on Sunday night over the Pistons, 109-90. In a fourth quarter that has frankly gotten away from them, somehow, he is still out on the court for the majority of it. Now, that may be because Thibs does not exactly trust everybody on his roster yet, and he's a veteran, and you understand, considering the way he has played this year, why he's not anxious to get him off the floor. But he is, right now, averaging, by more than 5 minutes, a career high in minutes played, excuse me, by more than 4 minutes, almost 5 minutes, a career high in minutes played per game. When you look at his entire career, Julius Randle has not spent a lot of time injured. You know, over the last six seasons prior to this one, or including this one, he's pretty much been out there every night. I get it. He's 26 years old. I get it that he is in his self-proclaimed best shape of his life. Julius Randle has done an absolutely amazing job for the New York Knicks this season. But can we be smart about this? He's going to go and enjoy the All-Star festivities as he absolutely should. But it's time to consider some load management. And that can start with Thursday against the Pistons. It truly can and should. You know, you can go into the All-Star break knowing that Randle's going to be there and be part of it and give him a break against a team that, frankly, we know you should beat. And yes, every game is important for the Knicks. But look at what is coming up in the second half. This road trip that begins for the Knicks in the second half of the season. Right out of the gate, they've got challenges that, frankly, are going to be very difficult to match up with. You know, the second half of the year, you go to Milwaukee, you go to Oklahoma City, you're in Brooklyn, and then in Philadelphia. And granted, those two are not long road trips. You're pretty much home anyway. But the point is, four games like that to start the second half of the season, that's a kick in the pants. And you're going to need Julius Randle to be your rock in the second half of the year like he has been in the first half of the season. Now, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're all world beaters right out of the gate. Of course, Oklahoma City isn't. But have the Knicks earned the reputation yet where they're going to beat up on every team that they should? No, they did the other night. You would hope that they would against the Pistons again. before the end of the break, or before the break comes. But why not get Randall a little bit of extra rest here and there? It's like in baseball when you get guys rest and you'll give a guy a day off the day before a scheduled day off. Get them more rest. Here's a chance to get Randall more rest to be ready for the second half. Because is there any reason to think that he's not going to be playing 37, 38, 39 minutes a game in the second half of the season? You know, we talked yesterday about the Knicks' ability to go out and help in terms of getting a scoring option that is not going to hamstring them for their future, is not going to hurt them too badly in terms of what they're going to have to give up, and yet maybe a free agent at the end of the year and can take some of that pressure off of Randall, whether that's J.J. Redick as a shooter, whether that's Victor Oladipo, whether that's Evan Fournier. These kind of guys can all help. And Randall is going to need some help. But in the meantime, until you have that true help, you need to get him the breaks where you can get him. I know. He's only 26 years old, but for a 26-year-old guy, he's got a lot of mileage on him. And when you are playing him as much as you are, you have to be cognizant of that. I don't expect him to sit out on Thursday night. I don't. I expect him to play his 38, 39, 40 minutes. Why wouldn't I? I get it. He's been their best player. It's been amazing. But it's just it's a smart thing to do. And where has Tibbs run into his issues before? He has run into them when he has overplayed guys and kind of run them into the ground and just has been a little bit hard on them in continued practice, continued pounding on them, all that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with working hard, and the Knicks are reacting very well to it all right now. But he's been here twice before, really specifically in one major instance where he ticked everybody off in Minnesota. So here's the chance. Here's the chance to reward the guy who's been your best player. He may want to go out there and play, but you just say, you know what? Sit tight. This is your night off going into the break. I want you to enjoy every part of being an All-Star. It is a special, special honor that you have earned this season. And there's no need to overplay him. I'm not talking about resting him every back-to-back second night or whatever. But there should be some opportunities here and there to get him a break in the second half. Look, the Knicks are not going to need him for a finals run, okay? But as I said yesterday, and I firmly believe, there's no reason to think that the Knicks can't be the 4 or 5 seed or 6 seed in the Eastern Conference. And if they're the 4 or the 5, they can win a round. I don't think if they're the 6 or whoever ends up being the 7th and 8th seed after the little play-in tournament, I don't think they're going to beat any of the top 3 teams in the East, even with their ferocious level of defense. But if they're going to have a chance to really stay in the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference, Randall's going to be a huge part of that. And you can say all you want. He's only 26 years old. Look at how many games he's played in his career. He has not played all that many. I mean, he has not missed all that many. Really, none. So with that in mind, just be smart here. If you're not going to rest him tomorrow or on Thursday against the Pistons, start to pick your spots. Start to cut down on the minutes a little bit because he has been the focal point of everything here. He has done so much with this team, not just with scoring, but with rebounding. And, of course, the numbers he's put up with assists. He's been everything, and he's defended well, too. These minutes have been hard minutes, hard 37 minutes a game. The Jets announced within the last few minutes that they have released Henry Anderson. There's your breaking news. And the reason it's breaking news is because it creates $8 million more in cap space. It was expected to happen. So the Jets right now, after his release, stand at roughly $76 million in available cap space. Right now, $76 million in available cap space. It will be very interesting to see what they do with Jamison Crowder, who would save them over $10 million. And they could, I'm sure, do something in terms of a restructure if they wanted to. But that wouldn't really save them any money when it comes to Crowder in particular. And George Fant as well is a guy that they could cut. Because remember, when they made a lot of these signings last offseason and Crowder a couple of years ago, they put themselves in a position where they would have this flexibility to move on from them if they didn't have a great year. So if they cut Fant, they'd save nearly another $8 million if they were to, let's say, go get, you know, Orlando Brown from the Ravens to play tackle. Interesting to see, but the Jets have added even more cap room by cutting Henry Anderson. 800-919-3776. We will hit the tweets as well at Chris Carlin over on Twitter. And we also have your comments up on the video live feed that is at 98.7 ESPN New York's Twitter handle and on ESPN New York's Facebook page. We will get to those in just a few minutes. We start on the phones, though. Open lines. Let's go. Let's hit them. James, Long Island, starting us off tonight on 98.7. James, how you doing, bud?
Chris, I missed hearing you on the radio, and I'm glad I get to speak with you tonight here.
James, I didn't miss you. I missed us.
So how was that Vegas trip that you took during that break? Any good golf game come out of it or no?
Yeah, you know, I didn't play poorly. So here's what happened during this little hiatus, just for those who weren't aware, and I'll make it quick. My wife looked at me that first week realizing that I was not going to have a show and said, "You're going to be here all week with nothing to do. That's not going to work. Get out of here." And so I looked up flights, and flights to Vegas were $170 round trip. So, and the hotels were ridiculously cheap. I got a suite at the Cosmopolitan for $70. I mean, are you kidding me? So anyway, I went for 2.5 days, and I had a blast. It was fun. It was just, you know, just me solo. And then last week, same thing. You don't have a show all week? That's not going to work. Get out of here. I went to Florida.
Yeah, I think once I did tweet at you the other a couple of weeks ago about saying that we need more Carlin and we need less crappy Knicks and Rangers, and ever since that tweet, the Knicks have been on a roll. So
exactly.
So I would like to take credit for that, the Knicks success.
As you should. As you should. It's not Thibodeau's defense. It's not Julius Randle. It's you calling them crappy.
Yes.
Yes, well done.
Anyway, I agree with you about the Pistons game. I think that is a game they got to win without Julius Randle. But I also think that I heard you talking about, which I agreed with you with, about the how you don't think that they're going to beat the 1, 2, or 3 seed if they beat a 4 seed or a 5 seed, which I agree with. But I think that they need to, without giving up too much, I think they got to get a guy like Oladipo or maybe a guy like Beal. I think they're just one step away from becoming real contenders. And what I know now, and what I think I have
settle
a question
down.
About
next. Settle and I have down. A
next year, do you think that now that they have Thibodeau and stuff, now they have Thibodeau and that whole culture change, do you think that any free agents are going to want to come to New York?
Interesting that you say that, and thanks for the call. Interesting that you say that, because that is already starting to gain some steam among some of the pundits. Jay Williams this morning on KJZ. He and Keyshawn and Zubin having this discussion and referencing a player like Luka Doncic, who may become unhappy with what's going on in Dallas.
If it's not working out with Kristaps Porzingis, they can't find the right trade value. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. is their third best player on that team.
Yeah, but Mark Cuban ain't going to let that happen.
I'm just right. saying, I mean, Bill Duffy represents Luka Doncic. Bill Duffy also represents RJ Barrett. If there's a star that maybe doesn't feel like, hey, this organization is getting me to where I want to be, and you're watching what the Knicks are doing.
Oh, no, that'd be big time for the NBA if he was to make that move.
Luka Doncic in New York City
with
the Knicks?
But I don't think Mark Cuban would let that get away, though. Why would he let that get away?
I'm not saying he would. I'm just saying sometimes if you're in a place like Dallas, and if you're not winning, or if you're barely making the playoffs, and you're having to do everything, and you see what they're building here in New York. You're seeing guys like Worldwide West, Leon Rose. It could be an intriguing prospect.
It's interesting. You know, that the idea that the Garden can once again become that place where players want to be. Is it going to happen that quickly? That's what's very interesting here. I don't know if it will happen all that quickly, because something we've talked about is that Worldwide West and Leon Rose, you know, they have been respected around the league, but in different roles, right? Never in the roles that they're in currently. They need to build some equity in these roles currently. So with that being the case, how long is that going to take among players and agents? Maybe that process is speeding along. Here's Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collective podcast.
I say within the next 12 months, a star/superstar player demands a trade to New York. And I don't know who it's going to be. I have some guesses. I'm not going to say right here. I'll let you guys start thinking about that. Let's just put it this way. League executives certainly have some guesses. And I say by next year's trade deadline, a player, a superstar, you know, all-star player tries to force his way there.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, like we have talked about, you would ideally want a situation where you already have some things in place and then it's attractive to free agents. And then you would go and get that last piece via trade, but it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, we've talked about it before. If the Knicks are in a position where going and trading for a big time player is really, let's just say, going and trading for a big-time player is something that is going to set you up, and it's not going to absolutely destroy you. Well, you know, then you truly have to think about it. And that J-Will conversation was really spurred out of the Windhorst discussion. So J-Will's throwing out, maybe it's Luka Doncic. Listen, if Luka Doncic wants out of Dallas and wants to come to the Knicks in a year, I mean, Jesus does like the Knicks, as it turns out. Ed in Rockland County is next, 98.7 ESPN. Ed, what's going on?
Hey, Big Chris, what's happening, brother?
Eddie, how you doing tonight?
All right, we discussed the Jets draft. Let's talk about the free agents. We know about the money. The top 20 free agents, how many can they afford out of that top 20? Because I got four or five guys picked, but I don't know if that's, they could take four or five guys.
Well, like we said, they just created $8 million, so they're at about $76 million. The hard cap number has not been set yet. The floor has been set at 180, but you don't think it's going to be much more than that in terms of the ceiling. You know, that may be like 182, 184. So with the pandemic affecting the finances off of this past year, it looks like that's what the case is going to be. So let's just say for the moment that the Jets are going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 million in cap space.
Can they get five of the top 20 free agents in the...
I think that's asking a lot. What are you talking about getting? Go.
I'm talking about, let's see, I got the list right here. I got the Juju Smith mm-hmm. for the wide receiver. Chris Godwin, I got the, the offensive line guy. Let me see who else I got here. A tight end, Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry.
From the Chargers.
Hunter Henry gets hurt all the time. He gets hurt all the time.
They need,
he's an incredible talent, but boy, he gets hurt a lot.
They need somebody, you know. There's a couple of...
No, listen, are they going to get five top free agents? No. I think they have the ability to go get you know, three top level free agents and then add a lot of good pieces. I think they're going to have that chance. And that's really what the plan should be, Ed. You don't need to have all pro players at every position. No team can do that in the league. But I think that they can have really good players. Like, for instance, if they went out and were able to trade for an Orlando Brown, especially given Joe's relationship with the Baltimore Ravens organization, boy, that would do an awful lot for them. You know, that's your right tackle. And then we're not talking about drafting Penei Sewell with their high draft pick.
Right. Oh, here's the one I wanted. Taylor Moten, the offensive tackle from the Panthers. He's supposed to be a good run-blasting right guard.
Yeah. I think the more likely, if they were going to go after a superstar guard, and thanks for the call, it would be Joe Thuney from the Patriots. I think that's a lot more likely. Because he's going to be the best on the market. And clearly, they're going to put a big-time premium on the offensive line and on getting a playmaker or two. Look, I think it's all really, really good for the Jets. The best thing that you could say is they're going to have so many different options in front of them. And tomorrow, I am very excited. Mel Kiper Jr. will be joining us on the show tomorrow. Mel Kiper Jr. on the show tomorrow to talk NFL draft, to talk Jets and Giants as well, and exactly how this is going to play out in the top 10. In his latest mock draft, as we know, he has the Jets trading back to the fourth spot, picking up a couple of more second-round picks, and then potentially taking Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, who, as we have discussed at length, is more of a hybrid tight end slash wide receiver and is a matchup nightmare for a lot of teams. As many as we can squeeze in, open lines. Let's go. 800-919-3776. Also, some tweets. At Chris Carlin, by all means, check in on the show there. And a couple of them I want to point out to you right away that have come in on this very topic. The idea that the Knicks should be thinking about giving Julius Randle a little bit of a rest. And the idea is one that most people tend to agree with. Precious Neophyte checking in. If it's a blowout, yeah, Obi can use the burn. Look, I think, yes, of course, if it's a blowout, you have to get him out of the game. And he didn't the other day. That bothered me a little bit. But I think you also have to understand that giving him a full game off here and there is a really good idea. You don't need to put him in a position where he is just shot to hell by the middle of April. I mean, that's going to suck if that's the case. It truly is. EP, Easy P, checking in. I agree. No chance, though, that Tibbs rests him. I hate to agree with you. I think it's probably right, though. And David Amandi, since Tom Thibodeau's the head coach, if he wouldn't pull him at the end of the game on Sunday in Detroit when it's well in hand, why do you think he'd give him Thursday off? Maybe if he gets out of hand again, but I don't play him as much, he's absolutely playing on Thursday. Don't get me wrong. I don't think they're going to do it. I'm advising to do it. My opinion, they should give Randle off on Thursday so that you get that extra rest going into the All-Star break, especially when you know that he's going to the All-Star game and, you know, going to be part of the festivities. That's for sure. It is the Richard Warning letting you know that if you need a minute or two off, now would be the time. Hello, Richard.
Chris, one of the great, great New York Giants just passed away, John Mendenhall.
Yes, I
now,
saw
you
him.
You never saw him.
I did not.
I'll tell you who he was, somebody who you know. He was the Giants' Joe Klecko. Just as good.
Was he that good?
He was. The
Joe Klecko
was so
should
loud.
Be in the Hall of Fame. Joe, I mean, it's criminal that he's not. Joe Klecko was a dominant defensive lineman in the league.
Mendenhall was that good? Mendenhall was the first Giant in the 3-4 defense, played the middle. But in 72, when he broke in, there was another guy on that line named Jack Gregory. That was the best defensive line I'd ever seen. And they had another guy, Jim Kinnicky. And they finished 8-6 that year. But in those days, if you weren't the Dallas Cowboys, you aren't going to win that division. They won it every year. He was so great, Mendenhall. Came out of Grambling. He was great from day one.
Don loved him.
Who?
Don loved him.
Oh, Don McGregor, he was that good. I'm telling you, he was just as good as – and I'm a Jet fan, too. I'm a Jet and Giant fan. He was just – the problem was that was the only winning year he played with the Giants in 72.
Richard, you're a Jet and Giant fan. What that means is you're a fraud. Come on. You can't be both.
Yes, I was at the game in 72 at Yankee Stadium. 49 years ago, October, I believe, early October, the Giants scored 63 points on the Philadelphia Eagles. Norm Snead was the quarterback.
This doesn't mean you're not a fraud when you say you're a Jet and Giant fan. You can't be a Jet and Giant fan. Sorry, fraud.
There were two different leagues, Chris.
I understand. Same city. Sorry, Richard.
Chris, the Jets were a novelty when they came in 61, 62. Nobody.
But you're still a Jet and Giant fan, you said.
Oh, yeah, I'm a New York fan. I'm a Devil fan, an Islander fan, a Giants, a Ranger fan. Why not?
But I mean, I root for it. Can't be both. Can't be both. Can't do it. Can't do it, Richard. Can't do it. Thanks for the call. Can't do it. Fraud. Richard's fraud. Tonight, Richard's fraud is a fraud. Fraud. Fraud, fraud, fraud. Fraud warning. Can't do it. Can't do it. Bruce in Flushing. Bruce, I had to cut you short last time, so by all means, let me make it up to you. How you doing, bud?
Okay, Chris. First of all, before I get to my point, Mendenhall was not as good as Joe Klecko. He was good, but he wasn't that good.
No, I mean, Joe Klecko was, if I'm not mistaken, no, and I know he was. He was a Pro Bowler at three different positions on the defensive line. So, Joe Klecko was when I was a kid, and I remember one of my earliest football memories is probably the Mud Bowl, in Miami, in the AFC Championship game. And, I mean, Klecko was a dominant player.
Right. Yeah. Plus, he played three different positions.
Right.
Two giant points, if I can. Number one, do you agree with me, no matter what, the Giants have to re-sign Leonard Williams? I'll tell you why. Not only, I know they want to try and keep Tomlinson, but Williams was so important to the pass rush, and besides run stuffing, you have to sign him. Even if you have to give him a 40 million guarantee, 18, 19, 20 million a year, whatever, but he's that important to this defense.
Yeah, I agree. He has finally come into his own, okay? And I'm more than comfortable giving him the money off of how he played this past year. I mean, when you think about it truly, how much is on the line for him when he is playing this past year and he delivered, they absolutely have to re-sign him. I totally agree.
Second point, let's say all the wide receivers and Pitts is gone by the time Giants draft at 11. I know you watched Penn State numerous times this year. Mm-hmm. Would you go, if you're the Giants, for the linebacker, Meeker, I forgot his last name.
Micah Parsons?
Or do you draft Baby Gronk, is his nickname?
Friermuth?
Or do you go to a lesser wide receiver or an offensive lineman?
I would prefer, considering that they took Thomas last year, yes, they need to do more on the offensive line, of course. I would prefer that they go get a number one receiver first and foremost. Both Friermuth, he's a very good tight end, and Parsons. Parsons has got a chance to be a special player, but I don't know that Parsons is going to be there where they draft. You know, it sounds
really?
Like Parsons could go in the top five or six on a few of the drafts that I've seen. Now, that's depending on how it all plays out with the quarterbacks, but, like, if Parsons is going to go in the top five or six, you know, you're obviously not going to get a chance at him unless you're trading up.
Do you think the Giants have a shot at somebody like Waddle at 11?
I absolutely do, and that's the more of the direction I would go, Bruce, and thanks for the call. I absolutely would head more in that direction. Jalen Waddle's a terrific, terrific wide receiver. You've got three great ones that are going to go in the top 12. With Ja'Marr Chase, with Devontae Smith, with Jaylen Waddle. Absolutely. And I would have no hesitation whatsoever in going and doing that because the Giants, they desperately need a number one wide receiver. They do. And Jaylen Waddle would become that. 800-919-3776. Oh, boy. Oh, look at this. Oh, we got more breaking news coming up in just moments.
Breaking news.
That's right. Regarding the New York Knicks, sit tight. We are taking you right up until Knicks basketball pregame. Top of the hour with Pat O'Keefe. Sit tight. Knicks a little shorthanded tonight. No surprise, Elfrid Payton will miss the game once again. But Knicks PR announcing just a little bit ago, Derrick Rose will not play tonight because of health and safety protocols. So he is out this evening against San Antonio. And it is official, Obi Toppin will be in the 2021 Slam Dunk Contest at All-Star Weekend. So there you go. Some things going on with the Knicks. 800-919-3776. This is all about you over the next few minutes till Pat O'Keefe, Knicks pregame, Knicks and Spurs. Ed Cohen, Brendan Brown with the call in just a little bit. Tommy's in New Jersey. He's next, 98.7 ESPN. T. Tommy Thomas, what's up?
How's it going, Chris? Thanks for having me on.
You got it, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm actually doing really good tonight. Super excited about this game tonight. I'm only 23 years old, so big Knicks fan. The only other exciting time I can think of in my lifetime was the 2013 Knicks with Carmelo when they won 54 games. Mm-hmm. So I've been pumped up all year. This is just such an exciting team to watch. I think they really just got the fans into it more so than they have in the past decade, it feels like. And I mean, that's awesome to hear Toppin in the dunk contest. Just keep getting it out there. But I'm just calling in as an excited fan. I'll just listen to what you have to say.
Look, you should be. You should be very excited. And thanks for the call because you haven't had a reason. I mean, normally I'd say, oh, you're only 23. You have not really known any sort of true success. I mean, the true success that you knew, you were 15 years old for 1 year when they won 54 games, and that wasn't really it. So, yeah, you should be very pumped up by what you're seeing. And that's why I really believe you can't shortchange this team. Yes, it is about the long haul. But the Knicks are at such an incredible advantage in trying to go out and get one of those players like an Oladipo, like an Evan Fournier, like, you know, J.J. Redick, in that they can trade a future first-round pick if they want. Half the league can't for various reasons, pick protections, all that kind of stuff. The Knicks could trade away their 2023 lottery-protected Mavericks first-round pick. You know, they could do that if they wanted to, and it wouldn't kill them. They're really in a decent spot right now. Colm in the Bronx is next, 98.7 ESPN. Colm, what's going on?
Carlin, good evening. I just wanted to say you've made the news that D-Rose is going to be out tonight, so it looks like Quigley's going to get the start, most likely.
Well, that's, I mean, it could exciting. Be. I mean, that's the thing. They're not announcing officially until a half hour before. So, you know, Pat will have that right at the top of the show in just a bit. But it could be Quickly, could be Ntilikina. Who knows? I hope it's Quickly.
I think the wild card could be Austin Rivers.
He hasn't played in forever. But, I mean, maybe, but he hasn't played in forever.
He's definitely going to get on the court tonight. You know, he's definitely going to get on the court. And, you know, out of nowhere, he could have the ability that, you know, at any moment could get very hot. So, you know, it's surprising to see that the Knicks actually have, like, a little bit of depth, which is even another crazy thing on top of all the crazy things that's happened to the Knicks so far. But I don't know. I think I'm excited for a possible Quigley start. And I think if he plays well, that might be the very first step of maybe the second half of the season starting, or possibly, or at least getting major minutes the rest of the way.
Yeah, listen, I think Quickly is going to get major minutes the rest of the way. What I am curious about, Cullum, and thanks for the call, is when he hits the inevitable rookie wall. And I think he will, just because, you know, in college you're playing, what, 30 games last season because of the pandemic? Maybe you would have been playing somewhere around 36, 37. If not, you don't go beyond that. So when they start to get into April and May, I'll be very, very interested to see how that affects him. How about Robin Babylon next, 98.7 ESPN. Robert, what's up, baby?
Hey, Chris, man. It's a pleasure, man. Thank you, man. Cold evening, but I'm blessed to be here. I want to just make a few comments, and then I'm going to let you go ahead and comment back on it. Now, first of all, I remember the New York City Stack Exchange, the Sack Exchange, where they had Marty Lyons, Abdul Salon, Joe Klecko, Mark Gastineau. These guys, you know, they were the epitome of what the Jets stood for. You know, this was late in the early 80s or whatever have you, and we were excited about these guys, and they did their job. So, and this is why, to me, I said, listen, man, for me, I would keep Sam Darnold, and I would trade that draft, and I would get the most explosive guys that are coming out of college, and not only that, but I would have them all be groomed at the same time, and I'll do offensive line, defensive line. And then I'm going to make another comment with Derrick Rose. Now, I understand the guy's coming here and he's bringing a lot of fire to the team, but first and foremost, we got to realize and we got to remember that what the Knicks have already developed, that's the one that attracted, you know, Rose to the Knicks. So they're fine, because before Derrick Rose came there, the Knicks were on, you know, the mission to start climbing up that ladder. So we can't.
Yeah, but you can't overlook. And the thing about Rose is the fact that they needed offense and he has given them offense. You can only play him 25 minutes. Otherwise, you know, the clock strikes midnight and, you know, Cinderella turns back into a pumpkin or however that thing goes. I don't know.
And it's time to get a Geritol. But yeah, but you know what? I mean, you know, excited. No, and I'm excited. You know, I'm excited for Derrick Rose. I commend him for his, you know, ability to come back into the league and kind of like, you know, put some stuff out there on the floor.
And the fact that he is also and not just playing well. And thanks for the call. The fact that Derrick Rose has also embraced that role of mentor for some of the younger players, and that's been exceptionally important. And I think that's in particular really going to help Barrett and Quickly. Luke in Hillsboro next. Luke, what's going on, dude? How are you?
What's up, Chris? How are you?
Good. What do you got?
I was listening before, and I just want to thank you for letting that guy, Richard, know you cannot be a Jet and Giant fan no matter what.
No, you cannot.
He was thinking.
You cannot. Yeah. No.
But I'm a huge Giant fan, and I always have been. And I'd say even more important than getting that number one receiver this offseason is keeping Leonard Williams and Dalvin Tomlinson. You got to have that big front. You got to have those two guys up front. Because if you get rid of one of them, the other one's just going to get double teamed. So is Dexter Lawrence. And we're not going to get any pressure at all. And the run game is just going to become terrible. We're getting Saquon back on offense.
The problem right now, though, is you want to keep both of them. It may not be possible. And thanks for the call, Luke. I got to let you go because we're up against it. It may not be possible because you don't have the cap space right now. You're going to have to make some moves. They're going to be able to save some money however the Nate Solder situation plays itself out. Golden Tate's going to get cut, but that's only going to save you $6 million. You could save a decent amount with Zeitler. But other than that, you know, you cannot save a ton of money in a lot of other places. You know, you're probably not cutting Jabril Peppers. You're probably not cutting Evan Engram. You know, you're going to have to, you can't restructure because those guys are coming up toward the end of their contracts. So you're going to have to get some deals that will help the cap immensely.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.